Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, December 31st, 2009. It's now about 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, My2CentsOnline.com. That's My2CentsOnline.com, and that 2 is a numeric 2. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I just enjoy broadcasting on a holiday because it's maybe very atypical. Most people take off, and I don't. And I like doing things that may be a little bit different. So hopefully we'll have some listeners that we normally don't have. And if we do, I do encourage everyone to please get on your phone and dial in and ask any questions. Every program is open mic night, so to speak. All right, although it's early in the morning. Well, this morning, I'd like to weigh in on a couple of subjects. You know, I read an interesting article. We talk about how things are going here monetarily in the United States, and a comment that many people make is the fact that, well, you can't really compare us today to the Depression, because things are really a heck of a lot better today. They're a heck of a lot better because if you look at the bank failures, we've only had about 140, and we had over 3,000 during the Depression. Well, a person answered to that finally, because I always thought that was a valid comment. I said, well, you know, I mean, things got to be much worse back then. And this is what the person said, that if you took the monetary weight of the banks that went under, it far trumps all of the banks that went under during the Depression. During the Depression, the banks were very small. I mean, the amount of their reserves was practically nothing compared to today. And so when a bank went under, it was really no big deal. When you have a financial institution such as AIG, even inflation-adjusted dollars, you find that what we have achieved here in ruining our financial system actually trumps that of the Great Depression. So this should give us reason to pause. We should be really very, very concerned, folks, extremely concerned where our country is going. Now, there are many people who feel we are on the precipice and we are on the verge of absolute economic collapse. Now, that may be true. In fact, we should plan for that, because if it doesn't happen, we're no worse off for it. But a more likely scenario is that we will not collapse. We will be like Japan. We'll just be in this low-level recession for a long period of time. What's bothering me is, in fact, the impoverishment of America. That's what's really bothering me. here we are, people who invested in the Dow 10 years ago, and I may be repeating myself. I may have discussed this last week, and I'm not even sure. But it bears repeating. 10 years ago, the Dow was 10,500. Today it's 10,500. People said, well, geez, we broke even. I made my money back. Things must be going well. You have to adjust everything for inflation. See, the government gives us this inflation. They actually give the inflation to us. And then they speak in what they call nominal terms. In other words, not adjusted for inflation. So I said, well, geez, see, hang on, folks, because we're on our way back. Well, the 10,500, using government figures, the government figures, the CPI, which doesn't include food and energy, by the way, two items that are skyrocketing, especially food, and fruit, especially vegetables, going through the roof. That's in double digits, if not triple digits. If you use the government numbers, in the past 10 years, inflation has eroded 28% of the buying power of the dollar. The dollar has actually been debased by 28%. Using CPI numbers, not the amount of money that's been printed. If you take the money, amount of money that's been printed, it's been debased 500%. But let's not go there. So 28%. That makes the Dow worth 10,500 in 1999, 8,200. So when we break even at 10,500, which we have, we are really at 8,200. Now, the results of that, the consequences of that, is absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Because what that shows you is that that is truly the impoverishment of America. Truly the impoverishment of America. Here a person has money in a 401k plan. And they think they broke even with 1999. And they're 28% poorer than they were 10 years ago. Together with the fact that they're not getting the raises, they're not keeping up with inflation. And many people have lost their jobs. Now, folks, you've got to look at this stuff from a macroeconomic point of view. Because when you do, you realize things are not as good as people are saying they are. Not at all. In fact, things are horrible. I don't know. I have an industrial health testing business. We go to factories, and factories are very cyclical. Manufacturing is very cyclical, I should say. So here we are going to manufacturing firms, and factories are most productive when they're operating 24 hours a day. The machinery's there. They got this tremendous amount of fixed expense. And usually we go first shift, you know, we start with a second shift, third shift, and the first shift, and whatever, however it works out. Usually the first shift is, sometimes the first shift is considered the graveyard shift. Well, now we're going there, we're doing the day shift. There is no night shift at all, there's no graveyard shift. We tested 75 people, and now we're only testing 40 people, 35 people. And this is across the board. Everyone's looking for a job. Everyone's afraid of losing their job. And why this emphasis on sales, on Christmas shopping, is beyond me. Why? Why do we care? I mean, so people shop more. People got further in debt. And we look at this thing further. The boom, this big boom that we've had past 20, 30 years, is all based on debt. We just kept on piling on debt, piling on debt. Now, I heard this number, and I wish someone would call in and say, oh, that's wrong, because it sounds insane. One quarter of the mortgages are underwater. That means that the houses are worth less than the value of the mortgage. Now, to me, that's just impossible. I mean, but 50 years ago, there would have been none. Because people bought a house, it was $17,000, they had to put $5,000 down. So even if it went down, and mortgage was still, you know, well below the value of the house, even if it went down in value. I mean, it was inconsequential. So here we are. We're in an economy where people who thought they were rich, and most people thought that their house was an investment. No, it's a locker room. I consider a house a locker room. You live in it, you do your things in it, and you leave. You know, you go about your business. You go on with life. And if you add up what you put into a house to keep it up, you know, upgraded and whatever, and fixed and maintained, you find that it cost a hell of a lot more, a hell of a lot more, you know, than the appreciation of the house. I know. I've been a homeowner all my life. So, sucks. Give me a studio apartment any day. Give me a tent, even better. I love tents. Small tent. Something I can carry on my back. House is not an investment. But people perceive this as being an investment. So they have this perception of this investment going up in value. And it's not really going up in value that much. Because inflation is the thing that's driving it. And what we're doing is we're debasing the currency. Right? We're weakening the dollar. We're encouraging people to get it more and more debt. Now, what kind of basis is that for an economy? Absolutely none. Folks, absolutely none. There is absolutely no way that we can get out of this. I do not see a way out of this. Now, the broadcast title is the European safety net fallacy. I say, folks, we have to start thinking. Oh, by the way, folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Please call in with any questions. Every program is an open mic night, so to speak. 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Email comments at libertytalkradio.com. Love to hear from you. Now, I'm going to save the emails. I have a bunch of emails. I'm going to save them till next week because they're very lengthy and they're very well done. I told several people that I would read the emails, but I'm not prepared to do so today, and I have a couple of more to go, and I really have to outline them because they're very long, and they're excellent. Every one of them excellent. I get thoughtful emails. I don't get garbage like, hey, yeah, man, I agree with you. That's what you should do. None of that stuff. In fact, every one of these people would probably be a heck of a better radio talk show host than I am. All right, let's get back to the... All right, so emails are next week. Oh, no, maybe not next week, because next week we're going to have a guest. And he'll probably take up the whole half hour, however long we broadcast. We're going to be talking about intellectual property, something I know absolutely nothing about. So it should be interesting for me. Hopefully it'll be interesting for you. But here, European Safety Net on NPR Radio. I love NPR Radio. I mean, these people are so bad. They are so bad. They're so Keynesian. It's unbelievable. I mean, their perception of how things get done and reality and economics is so off the page, it's laughable. But they have a lot of good programs. Now, I'll be honest. I don't contribute to them anymore. Because now I vote in my pocketbook. I don't like the attitude towards economics, and I don't give them any money. Because what they're doing is they are promoting and spouting economic issues that are invalid and are dangerous to this country. Other than that, they do a great job other than that, they do a wonderful job. Now, I do give to the classical station because I listen to classical music. Now, do I understand the classics? No, I wouldn't know Mozart from Elvis Presley. I have no idea. But I listen to that music because it's soothing and something I can listen to while I'm working. Okay, now back to the European Safety Net. And they're talking about this the program centered around people, you know, who are so desperate. Honest people, absolutely honest people, hardworking people, you know, family people, red-blooded Americans, all this other good stuff, who were driven to poverty. Driven into poverty. Consequently, they started to steal. Now, they didn't steal big things. They didn't steal cars or anything like that. They stole food. They go to a restaurant, they steal a ketchup. You know, they go in the bathroom, they steal the soap. You know, because they were absolutely desperate. And these people actually called in and admitted it. I applaud them for it. And they said that, you know, eventually they worked themselves out, you know, worked out of it, and they stopped doing it. And they said, well, and on one occasion, the woman said, well, this would never happen in Europe, because Europe has a safety net, and we don't have it here. The implication was that, you know, we're a greedy country. We're no damn good. Europe is wonderful. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm fuming. I'm just absolutely fuming, because the jerk, the dope, let me say the dope, that was the host, didn't know how to pick up on that. He just went on to another subject, the dope, because he had an opportunity to instill American ingenuity right there, to shore up the Constitution, to reinforce what America stands for. But no. No, he stood for what Europe stands for. That's exactly where we're going, and that's why we're dying. Let me explain. All right, and you had to sympathize with her. You know, her husband left her. She had nothing. You know, she started, stealing ketchup, you know, just to eat. You know, going to the bathroom, stealing soap. I mean, that's desperate. She had, I think, one child. They were on food stamps and welfare and all this other stuff. It wasn't enough. They just could not. They didn't have enough money to eat. Now, number one, I don't know her circumstances at all. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know her name. Don't even know what city she was. I think it was the East Coast. But think about this for a minute. Here's a woman is driven to that situation. Here are a few questions that I would have asked before I would have attacked the European safety net. Question number one. Ma'am, when your husband left you, how much money did you have? Did he take all the money? Did you ever find your husband? I mean, is he not paying alimony? Child support? Because if he left you, he's a criminal. Are the police looking for him? Apparently, you were doing okay when you were married to him, so he probably had a good job. He can be traced. If he can be traced, he probably has a job. And part of that money is yours. Rightfully yours. Now, the big question is, why did he leave you? Now, I'm assuming that he left just to play around. But no one asked, why did he leave you? Now, what if she said, well, you know, I'm on cocaine, you know, I'm an alcoholic, you know, I'm a prostitute, got pissed off and left. I say, yeah, don't blame the guy, you know. In other words, we don't know anything about the situation, but let's assume for a second she's perfectly all right. I mean, she's a good person, she did nothing wrong, her husband just found a painted floozy, just decided, hey, you know, I'm going to have some fun, left. Let's just assume that for a second. We can't, but let's do it anyway. The question is, did you have any money at all? Did he have any savings at all? Did he have any 401k? Did he have anything that you could attach? Any bank accounts? I mean, I would have asked her, what happened to the money? And she would say, oh, he took it all. He just took it? Did he just wipe out his 401k plan and his work? I mean, what did he do? What kind of jerk did you marry? Obviously, she made a bad decision. All right, but let's not even go there. Let's go here. Well, ma'am, your husband left you. What did your mother have to say about that? What did your father have to say about that? How could they help and support you? What about your grandparents? What about your uncles and aunts? What about your cousins? What about your good friends? Where is this? Talk about safety net. Where are all these people? She is starving to death, and she has this entire family. She may have. Now, she says, I have no family at all. Wouldn't that be unusual to have no family at all? All right, let's assume she has no family at all. What about your friends? You have no friends at all. I have no families and no friends. What kind of person is this? There's a whack job. Never ask the question. It's like, it's not their problem. Well, if not their problem, whose problem is it? It's her problem? It's her problem then. It's just hers. It's not my problem. She's getting food stamps. That made it my problem. I don't want it to be my problem. I don't want to be a part of that problem. I want to give a food stamps if I want to give a food stamps. I don't want the government to give food stamps because it's taking the money out of my pocket. I don't want to do that. She starves to death? She starves to death. Her kids starve to death? They starve to death. Not my problem. Not my problem. Now see how greedy and mean I sound? In other words, we don't ask any questions. All right, then I'd go and say, well, what are you capable of doing? Are you in a wheelchair? I mean, are you paraplegic or something? She obviously wasn't, because she walks to restaurants and stuff. Well, to steal a ketchup, obviously. I mean, not obviously, that's what she said. Steal anything she can get on there, sugar, anything she can get hands on. And you sympathize with that. But do you have any talent? What do you do? Did you ever go to school? Did you ever graduate high school? Do you ever read anything? You have any hobbies, any skills, anything? They never asked the question. This dope on NPR never asked one of these questions. He goes, well, I can see that, you know. And we're supposed to sympathize. I'm not sympathizing. I'm getting goddamn mad. I'm getting so damn mad I can't see straight. Assuming she has no skills. I mean, isn't there a church that she belongs to? Are there any organizations that she belongs to that she can go to and say, hey, I got this problem. You know, can you help me out? What do I do? Are there no organizations that help people out who want to get on their feet? She wants to get on her feet. There's no organizations at all, private, public, whatever, you name it, religious, secular, I don't care, where they can say, hey, you know, in your position, these are some things that you can do. And let me give you an example. I mean, I know this is going old school. She can tell people, well, you know, I started taking in laundry. I started doing laundry for people. I start doing ironing for people. I watch kids' dogs. I walk the dogs in the neighborhood with my child. In fact, people started things like that and became wealthy. I mean, what is she trying to do? And I'm just making this up off the top of my head. And none of these may be a good idea. But here she is. She doesn't state what she was doing, where she came from, who she is, who precipitated this, anything about her environment, only that she was driven to steal because you and me, we're greedy, we're selfish, and we didn't provide her with a big enough safety net. That's the problem, folks. Now, the European safety net. Sure, in Europe, maybe she would have received more money. But the government had to steal that money from somebody. They either had to debase the currency, which is stealing the money from people, or they had to tax the people. So here you are with a woman comparing us to Europe because we don't have a safety net like they do. But we don't talk to what's the other side of that. The other side of that is that the European safety net is robbing people of their wealth. And that's good. And no one ever challenged her on that. She wants to see people become impoverished to help others that have no choice in the matter. And as a result, Europe is impoverished. People are not getting on boats and flying over to Europe to live there. People in Europe are flying to get here because this is the land of opportunity compared to Europe. We're losing that. Now people are going to China and India for the land of opportunity. My point is that we don't mention it. And then we're left with this, well, you know, I don't know why we don't have a safety net like Europe. You know, we're a richer country than Europe. We should be able to provide. Absolutely wrong thinking. And it really, really bothers me. It really bothers me that we don't have that mentality anymore. Where we say, hey, that's wrong. That's really wrong. You know, the European safety net is not a safety net. It's an impoverishment of the masses. And yet, we just continue and we linger on and we linger on and we linger on and we go, well, yeah, well, because we stop thinking. I really think the danger in America is not so much the government. It's us. You know, you've heard that expression, we've met the enemy, it is us. It is us. Because if we started to think rationally and critically, we'd see the flaw of all the garbage that's being fed to us. You know, we send our children to school. Our children do not get educated in schools. They learn to memorize a bunch of crap that they'll never need or use. They get educated by television and by iPods and stuff like that and radio. And what they hear on radio and TV, primarily TV, is Keynesian garbage. And we can't think anymore because it's muddy. It's not logical thinking. It's just stuff that sounds good. Like we should be able to help the people who are poor because we have the resources to do so. And we go, yeah, I guess that's true. And that's bad thinking. We really have met the enemy, and that enemy is us. And the us in us, the us is the way we think. We cannot think through these issues at all. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. We're not getting out of this. We're not getting out of this at all. We're not getting out of the slump we're in. It may appear that we are, just like it appears that the Dow Jones is the same today as it was 10 years ago, when it's 28%. It's almost a third less, over a quarter. Everything being equal. But if you buy the stuff that I buy, it's much worse than that. Necessities like food, fuel, stuff like that. It's much worse. So folks, there ain't no such thing as a European safety net. And the Europeans are not nice and we're not greedy. Europeans are just lazy and stupid, and we're getting just as bad as they are. And that's enough said for today. Okay, I hope this Happy New Year, and I hope to have a guest next Thursday talking about the intellectual property. It should be a really interesting program. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Rainshakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crispiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.